The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, Monday Night Raw, review.
Welcome, everyone, to Wrestling to the Max's Raw Review for April 3rd, 2017. And, of course, this is the Raw following WrestleMania, so it's still high impact. All that excitement from WrestleMania feeding into this one, where now you also have that rowdy crowd getting you excited. And for getting you excited, we want to let you guys know we've got a lot of stuff from this WrestleMania weekend, so you don't want to miss a minute of the action. Go check out W2Mnet.com. If you haven't heard our WrestleMania review, maybe our NXT TakeOver Orlando review or anything else that we've done, you need to go check out W2Mnet.com for that, plus all the written parts of our website. It's pretty sweet. Also, go check out Wrestling to the Max wherever you listen, iTunes, Stitcher, or Podbean, wherever you find us. Go check out Wrestling to the Max and subscribe. I'm one of your hosts here tonight, Gary Vaughn. Of course, with me is Mr. Sean Garmer.
What's up, everybody?
And Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And boy, I'm kind of excited about talking about this because this is one of the biggest parts of WrestleMania weekend. That's right. It feeds off into this. And Sean, lead us down that journey.
All right. So the show begins and you get, what they showed obviously was Roman Reigns beating The Undertaker from WrestleMania. It was all in pictures, obviously, so they don't ruin the getting you to watch the network, which, depending on whether you heard this first or you heard our part one, you heard us talk about the current subscriber number for the network, which they announced before earlier in the day. And basically it leads into the crowd chanting a thank you Taker chant for about 5 minutes, and then it slowly morphs into a Roman sucks chant, almost like they knew that Roman Reigns was going to be the guy to come out first. And sure enough, Roman's music hits and this becomes a Roman hate fest for the next 5 to 7 or 8 minutes of random Roman sucks, you suck, Roman sucks, and the New Day chant, shut the F up chants, let's see, go away chants, what else did they, it was various forms, just very smooth by the crowd, just very well done. And Roman just finally decides to talk and says, this is my yard now, and drops the mic and leaves. And that is the last time this is not the last time you will hear of Roman Reigns, because they talk about him various times while he is not on screen, but it's the last time you will see Roman Reigns on the night. And honestly, that was just brilliant by whoever decided to book that segment. Pissed the crowd off even more, and Roman just looks like a boss.
I think to an extent you're right. I agree. This is the best way to do it for WWE. Not for the fans, but for WWE. Now, fan-wise, you watch this and you think to yourself, okay, he just says, this is my yard now. He drops the mic. I get what they were doing here. I'm kind of like aggravated only because of the fact if I'm, just speaking as a casual fan, I would be saying to myself, I get you, WWE. You were trying to tire us out. That way we couldn't hijack the show on different parts. Maybe we'd wear ourselves out chanting for like 15 minutes straight. I think that's part of it. But,
I don't
you
think
know.
That was the idea at all. Roman really actually picked up the... Every time he picked up the mic, he got booed or they started a new chant. So I think he was just sort of ad-libbing and playing with it. And then they told him, okay, well, you just got to kill the normal 15 minutes of Raw. Well, he killed the normal 15 minutes of Raw.
Yeah. It was all planned, though. Let's be honest. I like I'm saying, I mean, you may be right on the fact that, you know, this is best, but I just really think that they were thinking to themselves, you know, let's let them say what they want to say. This is the point of these Raws, is letting the crowd go crazy.
They did not do a good job of... they did not try to censor the times that the crowd said things that you don't need to be saying on national TV.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bad on their part. I don't think USA will be too happy about that, but because normally they're quick with that mute button. So that's a bit weird. I can't imagine nobody in the truck could hear that they were saying the F word and about two or three different types of chants. So, weird.
Do you think this is them skidding into the turn? Because Roman really plays this up. He's walking around, he's really smug, he's smiling, he mouths, I have you in the palm of my hand. Like, this feels heelish. And maybe it's just because the crowd, or maybe it's just because of the moment. But is this them skidding into it and just saying, all right, it ain't working, let's just let him go this way?
I don't know. I mean, you got a point there. It could be about that. Yeah, I could understand that. But
I felt more like him just being defiant. Like, I don't care. He didn't waver during that. It's not like he acted like he let the crowd bother him or anything like that. He just was... Pick the mic up. Oh, you're going to keep booing? All right. And then, oh well, it's 8:13. Let me just say what I got to say and get out of here.
I think the point of it really wasn't about turning you heel as much as it was the fact that this was pre-figured out for them and for Roman, because they knew that Roman was going to get booed out of the building. No matter what Roman could have said, it was going to happen. Roman could have went out there and said, guess what, guys? Under your chair, each of you have $100,000. Congratulations. And the crowd still would have booed him.
Would have thrown the money back at him.
You're exactly right, Paul. You're probably right. And it would be money worth spent throwing. But, you know, looking at this, I think that, you know, it's smart. It's a great business decision for WWE. And it also makes Roman look a little bit better, if you ask me too, because – what Sean just said, Sean, you were exactly right. Being smug, having the attitude, and just playing it off like, guys, I'm smarter than you. I'm not gonna make you the show. I'm the show.
But this is John Cena all over again. Like, they know that they're making money off pissing the crowd off that they won't turn him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's exactly why they won't do it, because they know that as soon as they do, guess what's going to happen? All these fans that are booing him are going to accept him now.
Now what you want, though? Like,
no, but the thing is, he's getting over you. Just like Goldberg said it in his promo, it doesn't matter whether you boo me or you cheer me, you're giving me a reaction, and that's all that matters. All that matters to Vince. He doesn't care about that.
I think we talk so often about them. We at least think from the outside looking in that Vince wants to do things his way and doesn't really care about us, right? So right. If you want him to get cheered, then turn him heel. Like, that's...
But now I think it's just but we also know Vince likes to piss the people that, you know, that are listening to this show and that do shows like this and that run wrestling Twitter and run the Facebook groups. He wants to piss those people off more, I think, than almost anything else, because people are still clamoring to this day that they want a full John Cena turn, and that's never happened. And I think we're going down that same road with Roman, especially now that he's selling the number one merchandise by being this way.
I guess I'll just leave it at this. John Cena started out as a heel, and the fans turned him face. And then we realized sometime later that we didn't want that for whatever million reasons you want to get, right? They're doing the opposite with Roman here, so I have to think the turn is going to come sometime. You have to think that. I just, even if our crowd suddenly turns to accept him as a heel, or if they just keep booing him, I don't think it really matters so much for money or whatever else, because if we accept him and he turns heel, great. They're still making money. Everybody else is still going to buy a shit. You know, whatever. If they leave him the same, I feel like you're going to continue to alienate the next generation of the audience, because you're going to have idiots like us going to Raws and house shows and booing the crap out of this guy. And it won't always be, oh, it's the smarky crowd. We can do this and get away with it. It's going to be damaging, I think, your long-term business plan if you continue to do this. I'm not saying I'm right here or anything like that, but it's just, like, I feel like there is the argument out there that our generation is out here sort of alienating the next generation of fans because of the way some of us act at TV shows or house shows or whatever, you know? I'm just saying, I think eventually they're going to turn into this, and whether this was the start of this or not might be secondary, but if they do, they don't have a better opportunity than now to do this. Like, retiring The Undertaker is just tailor-made for a heel turn.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. It really is, but I just think that they're going to put it off.
But is it really about a heel turn, or is it more about passing the torch to the next generation and setting up the what was talked about on Raw blatantly by Paul Heyman, the Brock versus Roman feud, to decide which person to beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania really is the big dog?
So, when it comes to that idea, I don't think it matters who's the face or who's the heel in that, because we already know how that's going to end, and really getting there is going to be the more interesting part. Because if this, from WrestleMania, whenever Roman Reigns got the final 1-2-3, to the moment he pins Brock 1-2-3, is the crux point of whether Roman is going to fly in the direction you originally have him in, or he's going to fly in the opposite direction, and you can work Brock either way. And that's what this really needs to be about, right? Is getting Roman Reigns to the point where either people accept him, or I don't think they're going to call it a wash no matter what, but you have to figure out, I think, what you want to do with this guy going forward, in whatever direction you wish to go with. That's what this feud needs to be about, because this is the time, you could say the spotlight was on him before, it's definitely on him now, no matter what you do.
Right. I mean, but I think they want the spotlight on him, so it doesn't really
matter.
Exactly.
But coming out of this, it's about direction. It's about, is he the next face of the WWE, or is he a Randy Orton, or is he an Undertaker, or is he a number two behind somebody they either haven't found, or somebody else who's already there that they're maybe not doing anything with, or whatever. You know, like, there's so many different ways this could go. But this needs to be, you're either the face or you're number two, number three, whatever. And that's the way you need to go. That's the way it needs to stick.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to stick, you know, however, you know, Vince wants it to stick, though. I'll say it that way, because I really think that, you know, he's going to keep pushing what he wants. And if it takes him taking the heel route, he may do it because he's done it with other superstars before in his work or whatever. But I agree. We've got to figure out what is going to happen. You know, Reigns is young in his career, but then again, he's not. I mean, he's not young as he was, you know, and you don't want to wait towards the end of his career to find the sweet spot. You need to find the sweet spot sooner than later.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's only 31. He's barely the same age we are. I mean,
it's not fair. He's a millionaire. I'm not.
Also insanely more good looking than this podcast host right here too, but yeah, that's neither here nor there.
Oh man. Yeah. I don't have the Samoan jeans. I just can't do it. I'm sorry, people.
I think that would go for a lot of people, but yeah, so since I already talked about it, they do have a segment with Brock and Paul Heyman. Basically, Paul Heyman runs down Goldberg and says that Brock finally beat him, and we won't have to worry about it because we're not going to see Goldberg around here anymore. And then you get "Thank you, Brock" chants for that. We start with Heyman talking about how Brock is not going to be just happy to have the title and do nothing and whatever. So he talks about a challenger and that he wants to do something tonight. He also then brings up the whole thing with Roman beating Undertaker and that they will have to decide at some point who the real big dog in the yard is. And then he says, we're going to have Brock's first challenger tonight. And then Braun Strowman comes out, says that whenever he's done with Roman, he wants to get Brock's attention. He pushes Brock, kind of punks him out a little bit, and then Braun looks like the punk and walks away. Look, I get it that he's supposedly interested in Roman, but that doesn't make Braun look good. Braun is a big dude. Walking away from another big dude makes you look like the chants that were being chanted when he walked away, the pussy chants.
You guys heard me complain about this the last time they did it, right?
Because I get he's a heel, but so is Brock, technically, so...
Yeah, but still, it doesn't matter who Braun Strowman faces. If he's turning tail and walking away from anyone, that is not good, like you're saying here, Sean. It does not present himself as, hey, you have to face me. You should be terrified. Now, he's like, well, you know, I acted big and bad, but maybe I'm not. Maybe I don't have confidence. It's just... it's not the Braun Strowman that I was hoping they were building him so well. And then this is the second time they've done it. And it hasn't really killed his persona for me. But on the other hand, I'm concerned this is going to be a bad habit.
I don't know if this is going to turn into a habit or not, because the two people he's walked away from are guys who they have spent a lot of time creating these huge auras around. Undertaker and now Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar just spent the previous evening dominating the biggest guy to walk the block in the last year in 5 minutes while he got thrown out by an entire ring full of people on the pre-show. So it's not like his stock is overly high or anything like that. It was at one point, and now it's sort of sinking a little. But for me, I don't want to say I like this a lot, but I get it, right? He's got his eye on another fish in the pond, and the one with the shiny belt is just going to have to wait until he's done murdering this other guy. And I kind of am okay with this, because the longer I think you keep Braun and Brock apart, the better that's going to work out for both of those guys. Because that match is going to be bowling shoe ugly.
Yeah, it is. But you know, is the whole point of this to at least have that face-to-face? Is that the whole point? I mean... To get that picture in your mind to think, oh, wow, this is going to eventually happen. Because it sure is a lot to do to come out there and face, you know, Brock Lesnar, who you don't want to fight. It's obvious. You don't want to fight the guy. But you're going to come out there and stare him down and then talk about the third guy that's not even there. So I think you could have done this in a phone call or a text. Hey, you know, don't mess with the guy I want to face. You know, it's silly. I know I'm saying that. But I'm just thinking to myself, that's a lot of effort. For knowing when you walk out there that you don't want to face him, you don't want to throw any punches.
I mean, this is the art of the tease, though, isn't it? Like, you come in, you have your little stare down, and Braun still has problems with Roman. And you've mentioned Roman. I'm out here letting you know I'm going to kick you in the face someday really hard, but right now ain't the time. Because I'm not where I need to be, and you just killed somebody who was, you know, a superhero, as they call him. So I think this makes sense. I'm with you, too. I would have loved for Braun to just run in there and kick the crap out of him. That's not going to happen.
No, I you know, and that would have been okay, but honestly, I don't even know if I want that. You know what I want? I want Paul Heyman to step in between him and say, no, Braun, he's not worth our time. He's not the guy we want to face. We don't want to dominate him. He's not worth your time because he's not the guy that just beat The Undertaker. We want to face the guy that says this is his yard. And make Brock Lesnar say, okay, I'm listening to my manager. I'm walking away, but I don't want to. Compared to...
I think they don't want to accidentally... I mean, it's happened from the crowd at times, but I don't think they want to accidentally turn Braun face either. So they do that so that he gets booed on purpose.
There could be that too, and I think we have to remember that, you know, Brock just spent a good portion of last year getting beat up by Goldberg, and maybe they don't want to tarnish his new image so quickly as having him go blow for blow with Braun or have this huge stare down where he's the one that has to back down in whatever fashion, whether it's Heyman saying, hey bro, later, or you know, Brock just, you know, happens to come out and losing in the brawl, or they both knock each other out, or whatever.
Yeah. This is where I have to try to take myself away from it, because I'm a big Braun Strowman fan. I look at him as that next big show. I look at him as being a guy that's really going to be a great part of this company in the future and having those big matches for us to just drool over. I think it can happen. Yes, he's a big man. He's not going to probably have that five-star special, but he's going to have some impactful matches that really mean something in history, I'm hoping. And so I look at this as just I just want that guy to be the guy that he's supposed to be in the future. So I got to take the fandom out of it. And if I do that, I could totally see where you're coming from, Paul. And maybe I don't hate this as much as I feel like I want to.
The argument has legs. I don't want to take that away from you, because Braun has been spent a lot of time looking really good. And now in the span of, has it even been a month since he walked away? Maybe 3 weeks. He's back down from two fights. Like, that is something you should keep in mind, I think, going forward. Is, well, maybe we need to start making him murder some of these other guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, Sean, right. I mean, hopefully it's not three strikes and he's out. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly. I think... Well, there's also the... I think I'll end with the Roman theme for now. But so the first match on the show was the advertised right before they went on the air Raw Tag Team title match between Gallus and Anderson and the Hardys, as Gallus and Anderson feel that they were cheated because they were not expecting the Hardys in that match. Even though it's a ladder match, you really can't expect anything. But either way, they gave them their rematch for the titles here. The Hardys end up winning with the Twist of Fate and Swanton combo. I thought it was a good match. Fun way to kind of get the crowd going. And once again, very much different from last night where they announced them as the Broken Hardys. And Matt was doing a little bit more of the... You know, leading is kind of doing sometimes a delete chant or whatever, but they were letting the crowd do most of it. This was much more. Matt still got the hair, but that's about it. There is nothing. The commentary doesn't mention it. Nothing else.
This is a real shame for something that happens later, because if they were allowed to broken it up, I think we might have a really hot idea in the tag division already brewing And that's not to take away from the teams that are already there, because there's some good teams here, but there wasn't any real direction. And I think with the Hardys in some form or fashion with the broken gimmick, they could have done something. And especially with the new team that just came up that we're going to talk about later, I think it could have been a huge deal, at least for those guys, to get involved with all that. But I thought this was fine. Like, the Hardys get to look good. Plus, we get an F that Al chant. I'm all about that.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Except I saw many people saying, oh, I turned the TV on and there's an F that Al chant. All right, I'm going to keep doing what I was doing. But, you know, I think it sounded more like TNA fans being upset about that.
Yeah, butt hurt.
Yeah, jeez. Yeah, you know what? I mean, I think it's a big disappointment for us fans who love the broken Hardy. So it is a big disappointment, but I think you need to take a step back and understand that even 2 years ago, you would have wanted to see this happen, and it's happening. So be happy. I'm taking that point as of now. I'm just happy to see the Hardys on WWE television. I love the broken stuff. I think it's excellent. I think it's super entertaining. I'll be honest with you. The broken Matt Hardy and even Jeff, that has brought fans that used to watch wrestling back in the day a little bit back in the fold. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to and said, you know, the Hardys are back or the Hardys are around. And they're like, yeah, I know. They saw that weird thing that, you know, Matt Hardy's doing. I'm like, oh, you watch wrestling? No, I don't. I don't watch wrestling, but I saw it. That's bringing people back in the fold. So I want it to happen, but right now I'm okay with this. I think what we're getting here is a lot of excitement, a lot of fun stuff. Matt and Jeff have so much to offer, especially right now as we sit here tonight without the shakeup. A tag team division that could use the help, honestly. Let's be you know, really honest here. So I think it's a great addition to WWE, and tonight's match was fun. I was excited. It was the first time. Probably the first time I did not want Gallows and Anderson to win. Outside of that, that's who I wanted to win every match that they've been a part of. This is the first night I didn't want that to happen.
Yeah. I can totally understand that. But so, hold on. Exactly what are you getting? You didn't want what to happen again?
Oh, I was just saying that this tonight was the first night that I honestly was not rooting for Gallows and Anderson. Ever since they debuted, I mean, I've been all for those guys because they're the treatment of them.
It seemed like the crowd was sort of like that too, because this would have been the crowd to root for them, right? Mm-hmm. But then also WWE has done everything they possibly could to make them just, this is not the team that you wanted to cheer when they showed up. Right. Mm-hmm. They've done the opposite of what they've done with AJ, where they have done everything to make them be just a team. And so, you know, even with those fans that, you know the Bullet Club or whatever, I don't think the momentum is there for them where you would have the people that are kind of like you that want Gallows and Anderson to succeed and they would be behind them or whatever. I think you saw it with Cesaro and Sheamus, honestly. Now, look, there's a lot of European fans in the audience and that helps too, but I genuinely think that Cesaro and Sheamus have gotten better as the time has gone on, as they've become more cohesive with each other and they've grown as a team and you sort of want to root for them, whereas Gallows and Anderson is almost the opposite. You know, so the Hardys come in and changing all that is going to be interesting, especially when the two teams, you know, meet up with each other. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, do you think that it'll be like a 50-50 split, or do you think it, I mean, obviously, you know, we'll have to see how long the nostalgia for the Hardys goes, but I feel like, you know, you'll still get, I don't know where Payback is. Is it San Diego? I don't know what kind of doesn't seem like a smarky city, but it'd be interesting to see what kind of reaction like Cesaro and Sheamus get during the match and stuff like that for doing things.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, and Cesaro and Sheamus, like you said, Sean, have come a long way because I think fans were just really wanting to hate that tag team only because of the fact that Sheamus being a part of it. Let's be honest. Cesaro is pretty much over with a lot of the smarky fans. Heck, he's even over with some of the casuals as well. But Sheamus has been that guy that people kind of looked at the sore spot, like, let's just have him do something else. But the way that they've portrayed themselves as of late has been exciting. I've really enjoyed the chemistry. It just this, I mean, this is what, with 2 weeks that they've really showcased their you know, prowess of being actually a real tag team. So I'm excited about that. And I'm really curious, too, how Payback's going to end up with them, especially facing the Hardys.
Yeah. Especially because, you know, like you said, Cesaro and Sheamus, they win a No More Contenders match. And now they are the team that will face the Hardys going forward at Payback. And I really enjoyed the, I mean, again, like, this is one of those where I think it obviously helps with the crowd that's there. But Cesaro and Sheamus getting a lot more attention than Enzo and Cass. Which I don't think you would have said last year when Enzo and Cass debuted and everything. But do you feel like Enzo and Cass are starting to sort of wear out their welcome? Or was this about the sort of different type of fan that you have that obviously with the soccer chants and everything there, you know, you're they're behind Sheamus, they're behind Cesaro because they're European. So, you know, it feels like a little bit of the homeland being there.
I don't know. This is kind of rough for me because I feel like the segment earlier with Kurt was money. Like, that was great. And not just because, you know, Kurt was an awesome straight man, but a lot of Enzo and Cass were good there too. And then they have the match. And honestly, this feels more
which
like
the. That's not how you spell soft.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's great. This feels more like Enzo and Cass could be up for getting moved over to SmackDown to me, simply because they need teams over there, and they only have two really good ones. Enzo and Cass are going to be over no matter what show they're on. Why not send them to SmackDown where they have a chance to be champions now, and then you free up whatever you got going on here with the Hardys and everything else.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting point. I'm glad you brought that up, Paul, because I thought to myself after the results of this match that, okay, so how does Enzo and Kaz really, you know, benefit from any of this? But just that would benefit them. Not only that, I mean, it'd be kind of a funny situation too because they have Carmella. Not that she would join them, but Carmella would be on the same roster. If they did want to do that, I don't think they will, but if they did want to do that, that could be a possibility. But not only that, it would add something to SmackDown that I think would be really, really cool, you know, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be interesting exactly how they do this. I don't think it's going to be. You know, I wonder if it's going to be like a supplemental thing where you send 5 or 10 people over from each show and switch them around. Because I'd imagine if it was going to be a redraft or something like that, they would have said it. Right? So.
Right. In my mind, what.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I would think it's like when they would do the, like, oh, let's just do 5 people from Raw, like, each show gets 5 or 10 and they pick, or I don't know if they'll make them fight for who gets a number of spots or whatever, you know.
I what makes this interesting to me is I think this could work out like how NFL teams do it, where you're trying to propose trades to one another and maybe buying or selling certain trades. So, like, you know, it's Daniel Bryan and Kurt Angle in a room together with Shane and Vince. They're sort of overseeing things, and, you know, they're working out trades. And then, like, hey, I'll give you this team for, like, Sami Zayn, or I'll give you some other things for Charlotte, or you know, however they're going to try to do this. But I think that's more interesting, is trying to watch them work out trades, honestly, and then you can break it during the show or whatever.
Yeah, especially with, it seems like Brian is going to be on Raw when this happens. So them talking to each other, and now you have two guys that are very like-minded as far as, you know, the way that they see things. It's going to be interesting. You know, will we get like a Revival and American Alpha swap or something like that, with Kurt winning, you know, the team that people associate with him sort of on his side, or what are they going to try to do here? It's going to be fun. But speaking of, I mentioned them already, but so the New Day come out and they're a little upset about the fact that they did not get to wrestle at WrestleMania. And so, and that's understandable, right? They didn't just want to be the host. They wanted to be out there and do their thing in the ring. And so they issue an open challenge, sort of. And, you know, they wait, and here we go. The Revival's music hits, the crowd goes nuts. I think this is perfect for, perfect for what you want, right? This is a team that doesn't take things seriously. You get the team that takes things uber seriously. The match lasts around 10 minutes. I enjoyed it just because the Revival got to do their thing, Shatter Machine, and they beat the New Day on their first match on Raw. I mean, pretty cool. Even though I feel like you could have done a bigger thing with the Revival and New Day, but it does make a statement. So it's either one or the other, right?
Yeah, you're right. And it's the point that I was wanting to bring up in this, and it's the fact that, boy, you know, what a pop for those guys. What a perfect scenario to put them in. Putting in WrestleMania would have been neat, but this is the perfect place to do this. And also, I think New Day's the right tag team to kind of put these guys against, for what Sean just said. I mean, it's a contrast of thought processes. And then you've got the Revival, you know, saying, oh, we're not just here to win. We're here to take you out. Am I taking Kofi Kingston out at the end here and just saying we're here to punish people? That's really brutal. That also showcases who these guys are without them even having to speak one word on the mic. I love it. I think it works. It's exciting. And, I mean, I'm really curious how they're going to handle these guys in the future.
Yeah, we talked a lot, I think, since the Revival dropped the NXT championships to DIY back in Toronto, about where these guys could end up, when they were going to come up, all these other things. And I want everybody who's coming up to come on SmackDown, just because that's the show I prefer. But I think over here with the tag division as it stands right now, no trades, you know, none of that, this is a fine place for them to be, just because they're, as it's already been said, their thought process is so different from a lot of the other teams on this show. And it's a really, this is why it's a large shame, I think, that the Hardys can't use the Broken gimmick. Because can you imagine these two goobers running around Broken, and then you have to come up against the Revival for the tag team titles? Like, that is a money feud. And now we can't have that, and I'm sad.
Yeah. That's just,
I have to keep my fingers crossed. I'm still going to have some hope. Even though,
well, the Broken thing against anybody is going to be money. Like, Enzo and Cass, that's going to be, that would be hilarious, you know? I mean, just Cesaro and Sheamus, any of them, it would be tremendous for them. Just, I hate that either Vince just doesn't see the money there, or he just really wants it to be his own thing and doesn't want to just bring it over from another company and go based on if the fans are going to do something or not, you know? Mm-hmm. And I can understand that. Like, you don't want to get in a legal battle to use somebody else's gimmick and you don't own it and, you know, whatever. But, like, they're signed to deals. Like, they're not going to just walk out tomorrow. So, I mean, if the gimmick works and makes you money, I would think that the legal battle's worth it. But, I mean, Anthem has money, too. It's not like, you know, they're pinching pennies here. You know, the worst thing I think WWE would want to do is have to end up paying Anthem to use the broken gimmick.
Yeah, the way that lawsuit was supposed to work out was Anthem was trying to say that TNA had a hand in it and they want to make money every time the Hardys use it. And whatever. I mean, I think it's pretty easy to see that TNA and the Hardys, like, that was, like, the Hardys almost became their own entity while they were building all that up. So, I think it's really hard to say that the Hardys don't own it at this point. But I understand, and this is Vince we're talking about, too. Like, we talk about all the time how he wants things his way. We talked about at the top of the hour. Like, he wants to do things his way no matter what. This is what he's going to do. This is what he's going to do, right? And it's not to say that the old gimmick that the Hardys had here in the WWE didn't work, because it did. Jeff never changed his gimmick, and suddenly he's World Heavyweight Champion a bunch of times. Like, I mean, it works. So we'll just have to see what happens.
Right. I mean, I think they could be fine with just being the Hardys again, obviously. Just, I wonder how much the creative juices for Matt would be in it. Because this has become, obviously, Matt has been in the shadow of Jeff forever. This mm-hmm. has allowed Matt to finally be the star. Right. And then he was able to put his entire family in it. And then Jeff got to be in on it and be part of it. And, like, this sucks for Matt. Like, if he then becomes, oh, I'm back in Jeff's shadow again, I'm just the other Hardy, how much is that going to start wearing on him? And then he's going to be like, oh, I'm here again, not enjoying myself. And, you know, that kind of sucks.
Right. Obviously, if you can't use the broken gimmick, that doesn't mean you can't use pieces of it. Break the broken gimmick, as it were. Because, I think you see it here and there. Like, I mean, last night at WrestleMania, he did the wonderful pose whenever him and Jeff came through the curtain. On Raw Talk, I watched a clip earlier where Renee asked him how they're doing, and he opens with wonderful. Like, I mean, there are pieces and nods you can give to this thing the whole time. And maybe it won't make him stand out as much, but I'd like to think him and WWE could come to some, you know, middle ground about, well, I want you to keep doing this and this and this, and then we'll take whatever you want to give us to, and then we can figure something out together. I know that's not how creative works anymore in WWE, but I would like to think that you brought these guys in because of what they did, and creatively they created that, so.
Yeah, and the one thing I'll say, just to kind of, you know, from my point of view, you brought these guys in because of their talent, but you also brought these guys in, I feel like, for merch. I mean, let's be honest. Everything that you've done this past year has been money. It really, really has. And there's been nothing more exciting on the one promotion that they were a part of that really didn't have that many viewers, and they became viral, and people started listening and watching and paying attention to them. So WWE wanted in on that pie, and why not take advantage of it? I mean, if you can make money, go make that money.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think they will be fine. Obviously, making money, selling merchandise, having matches, and getting the crowd into them, being the Hardy Boys that we know and love, but having that gimmick or getting to do something different allows them to be a bit more free about now having this different run where they're not having to be a nostalgia act like the Dudley Boys.
Right.
You know? And I think that's what you want. You want to be able to say you evolved your character and all that stuff, and you got to do something in other companies, and you got to bring it to the big company and be like, man, now I made Mega Millions over here. And you know, and Maxwell wouldn't have to worry about a thing for, you know, his entire life or whatever. So, I mean, I'm sure
he already doesn't have to worry about anything for his entire life. But
yeah, I mean,
he is a king.
It's true.
Right.
He is a king.
He is a king. So, moving on from this, you know, I think we talked about a majority of the matches here. Neville also had an open challenge. He said he's going to have a celebration for himself on 205 Live. They announced another Fatal 4-Way to determine a number one contender. I mean, this is the third one. They need to figure out some kind of different system here. For this, it's going to be Jack Gallagher, Austin Aries, TJ Perkins, who somehow keeps getting no more contender opportunities, and the man that comes out to answer the open challenge. There was people speculating the far off Rey Mysterio and possibly Hideo Itami, which we have heard before that they might play around with the idea of him going into 205 Live. Neither as Mustafa Ali is the man that answers the challenge. That kind of goes back to the whole, we have seen Mustafa Ali interrupt Neville previously a couple of times. And Mustafa Ali has a good showing, but Neville eventually beats him. The crowd starts, the Beach Ball makes its appearance again from last year. Where, you know, Gary and I, we were all in the crowd here. I was pissed eventually because the Beach Ball thing just got out of hand. I was starting to disrespect the wrestlers in the ring, and that happens here. They are absolutely disrespectful to Neville and Mustafa Ali, and these are the same fans that will go back to wherever they're at and then bitch about the Cruiserweights not getting attention. And I don't know why you would pay all that money to bounce around a beach ball and chant about beach balls. But, you know, whatever. To each their own, I guess.
And if people want to do that and you really feel the need to pay, oh, I don't know, $85 to $120 to do that, you know, to push around a beach ball around amongst people, I'll give you my address. You come over and I'd be glad to take your money. So. but you know, I know you're right, Shauna.
Beach ball mania, Gary's house, guys. Let's go.
Yeah. This is game on, baby. Just make sure you bring your money. But no, I kid about that. But no, you're exactly right, Sean. It's silly. It is disrespectful. And I've come to understand it's just one of these quirky things that this crowd's going to do when it comes to the post-WrestleMania Raw. Is it good? No, I don't really think so. But I mean, I don't know. I think they kind of feel like it's their free speech. Out of that, though, I mean, heck, the match was good. I don't know why you'd be bored during this at all. I mean, do this when
yeah,
Vince
they
comes.
Were killing themselves. The freaking yeah. That DDT that he hits on Neville. My God, I don't think he could go any further without breaking his neck. And you know, the imploding 450 that he misses. Neville hitting some crazy stuff. Neville eventually just said, "You know what? You're not paying attention to us. Then screw you. No more flippies for you."
Yeah, yep. And he slaps on a submission because Neville's the greatest. Like, if there wasn't a cruiserweight division around, or if it dies, this is the one guy who could become Intercontinental Champion tomorrow or U.S. Champion tomorrow. I wouldn't bat an eyelash.
Oh, me either. The new Neville is amazing. Mm-hmm. I love him to death, and I'm a big Austin Aries fan. But I did not cry going out of WrestleMania and Austin Aries not winning because Neville is just that good. He's exciting. He's someone that I'm okay with being the champion here. So.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that Austin Aries could also probably do the same thing, but you know, let's hope that we're not talking about 205 Live dying anytime soon. It does a good for the other guys that are on there that are not the Nevilles and Austin Aries. So
You'd be missing out on guys like Mustafa Ali. I am just falling for
this guy. I love
Mustafa
Ali.
He is amazing. Yeah, I do too.
And Jack Gallagher would be another comedy guy.
Yeah. So. Can I say this? And this is maybe I'm going way out of my way to say something that may not be true. I kind of feel like we're finally getting to see some of the fruit from the Cruiserweight division. I think we're finally getting to see it. Mustafa Ali, Sean, you just said Jack Gallagher. Tony Nese, Rich Swann. These are all guys that it kind of takes me back to 98 when WCW had some names in the Cruiserweights that actually started to step out and to be something and were names you would mention when you mentioned Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, all these other people, you know, Goldberg. You had mentioned Rey Mysterio. And so now I'm hoping that eventually people will be doing the same when you're talking about Kevin Owens, you're talking about Seth Rollins, you're talking about Austin Aries, you're talking about Neville. I hope that's happening, but to me personally, it's starting to.
I think there's a lot of good characters, and that's something I think WWE, even during the first one of the Cruiserweight division, did a pretty solid job of doing, was creating characters that you could at least get somewhat invested in, whether it was a passing interest or you know, full on really got into them. But what WCW did so well was really show off the action, and neither of them has ever found a middle ground. WWE still hasn't found the middle ground. And admittedly, you are consistently getting close to 3-star matches every single time these guys go out there and work. But they still haven't had something that makes you want to watch every week. And that's what we really need here. It's just either a series of, like, you know, above awesome matches, you know, or you need a breakaway character. And I think Neville is that character. They don't have a foil for him yet. And that's what we're trying to figure out is who's it's going to be. I think Mustafa Ali could be a great candidate. Like, the in-ring, the guy is incredible. He is must-watch in the ring, but we haven't gotten to see so much of the other side of that book yet, so
yeah.
Hopefully we get there.
I mean, I'm glad they dropped that character of the whole, well, my name is Mustafa Ali, and I want to prove that I'm not just, you know, I am, don't
evil foreigner man.
Yeah, exactly. It's mm-hmm. not needed, especially when you already have Arya Daivari being evil foreigner man. Just go out there and wrestle and be you, you know. So, you know, we've talked about the tag teams, we've talked about the Cruiserweights, we've talked about the debut of the Revival, we've talked about Kurt Angle being GM, which he has other little segments here where, you know, he gets to be that straight man here. We talked about the one with Enzo and Cass. He also has one with Sami Zayn, which this was also great. He talks, you know, he's like, well, I had a good relationship with Mick Foley, and he's like, well, Sammy, I can see that you have one of the three eyes, that you are intelligent. And, you know, Sammy says, well, thank you, Kurt, I'm glad. And then Jinder Mahal, of all people, because, you know, they got to have him involved somehow. He shows up, he's pissed that about the Battle Royal for some reason. He because of Gronk. Because of that man named Gronk, or however it was that he said it. It was funny. And then I want justice. And so Angle's like, well, we're going to settle things here in the ring. So guess what's in the dead spot? Jinder Mahal and Sami Zayn. Thankfully, it does not last very long. Lasts long enough for the fans to get a little bit unruly after they get all hyped up with Sami's entrance. Sami hits the haluva kick, and then they get to start dancing again with the entrance. So, hey, at least the crowd didn't die there. So, that's good. Sami Zayn gets a win against the nobody. And we move on, I guess.
Odds that Sammy goes to SmackDown.
That's somebody that would greatly benefit from going to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sad thing is we can say that about a lot of people, so You know, how many people were going to be like, oh, I really want to see them on Raw?
That's true. That really is, honestly, something that I never really see myself saying very often. You know, the one thing I also kind of point out, too, is Jinder Mahal's getting a little love here. You know, being one of the final three, you know, in that, you know, Andre the Giant Battle Royal. And then getting to have a decent match here. Wasn't very long at all with Sami Zayn. But, he, you know, he got to look strong at points. You know, attacking Sami Zayn before he even got to the ring. Things like that. I think it's kind of cool that, you know, at least Jinder got something. They're not just, you know, making him lose just, you know, in about 3 minute matches.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he did get something here. I don't think the crowd really cared. Just, I think, because they want to see Sami try to run over somebody. But, you know, Sami, I think, is somebody who would greatly benefit from moving to SmackDown. Just because when you look at, I think you get it, this episode of Raw does a terrific job of establishing its big picture. You have Roman, obviously. You have Brock. You have the main event guys, who we're going to talk about here in a little while. And you have a lot of things bouncing around that. And you have your mid-card title tied up in that, and now you're going to have your top title tied up in that. Sami doesn't really have a lot to do other than wrestle nobodies or, you know, go try to find a tag team partner if they want to do that. But I think, you know, just you move him to SmackDown, you automatically have somebody who has big star potential and a great baby face to work with. And I mean, the match prospects over there, him and Miz, him and Cena, him and AJ, him and, you know, whoever they're going to show up on SmackDown tomorrow, hopefully Shinsuke, like, I'm down for all of that over there. You know, there's just, I don't think that the future is very bright for him or here on Raw. And if they want him to succeed, it's time to move to Tuesdays, young man.
Cannot complain about anything you just said there. I totally agree. It is time for him to move to Tuesdays. Again, we might get more, like they might get to give us more info tomorrow on SmackDown about what exactly the shakeup thing is going to be and all that stuff, especially once, you know, the debutantes that are going to make their debut do so. And then, you know, if any of those get switched over to Raw the next week, that's going to be interesting as well. But let's move on once again. And I think one of the few things we haven't talked about aside from the main event stuff is what they did with the women here, which was really just a let's put in the four women from last night, get a re-debut of Emma to the crowd not caring, and Dana Brooke being a face, which is still really weird. They try to do the square off between Emma and Dana Brooke that, again, no one really cared about. Sasha winds up getting the pin on Charlotte. Charlotte gets pissed, goes after Nia, and Nia says, I ain't having none of that, and just cleans her clock. Not a great two nights for Charlotte. Does a lot of the work in that women's title match and loses. She loses here too, and then gets beat up by Nia.
Probably the worst we've seen Charlotte, right? I mean, honestly, not really skill-wise, but at least, you know, the status of her in matches. And that is odd. But that also makes you wonder about this shakeup, too. You know, we keep talking about people not really succeeding on Raw, and then next thing you know, they go somewhere different. I mean, it would not be a huge surprise for us to see a Charlotte move over to SmackDown and be a contender for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Well, I mean, it's not like Charlotte's just done everything she's going to do on Raw with those people. She
exactly.
needs to move because she needs fresh blood. And SmackDown could really use somebody established like Charlotte.
Definitely. I mean, because honestly, probably the best talker out of both brands when it comes to the women's division.
I mean, I think, do feel like you'd have to move one over, though, to make it even.
I think you trade Bliss over there. I think you trade Bliss to Raw.
That is the only heel who I think you could switch with Charlotte here and keep things interesting, just because...
You could switch Mickey, too, I think.
You could. I mean, she just turned face, though. I don't know if they're going to play into that so much, but I, for one, was glad to see Emma back. I loved her old look. It's a real shame they've already turned Dana face, because watching them pal around could have been great, but... You know, we'll see what happens here. I think they still have high hopes for Dana.
Maybe they can do a story where Emma coaxes Dana back to the dark side or whatever and says, like, hey, we used to be friends. You know, Corey Graves did make the joke about, well, now Dana Brooke has somebody to hang out with again. So.
I'm not sure that we were bros.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think really we have to be too concerned about this face turn for Dana Brooke, because I don't think anybody's going to care either way right now. And I hate to say it that way, but people may not even
They're
remember.
They're not, especially when Charlotte leaves. It's like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I just have to think one of the... Like, either Sasha or Charlotte have to move.
Like, I mean, you can't move Sasha. She's got all these... tense things going on with Bailey. That seems like it's going to be your next match.
Right. So, I think the fact that you're finally moving Charlotte out of the title picture, that seems like... And Nia kind of knocking her down, and that's sort of the last thing we've seen of Charlotte. That's a primed position to have her move. That's sort of everything they did with the women there this time. They only got them in one segment, and then you have your setup for your main event, which is supposed to be Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens against Chris Jericho and Seth Rollins. Very, very easy setup. You know, Triple H doesn't wrestle on Raw, so the next best thing is Samoa Joe, who Rollins still needs to get some retribution for the injury, and then you have Kevin Owens and Jericho, who had the match from last night. Jericho has a promo. Hold on one second.
An awesome promo. Absolutely incredible promo.
My headset was telling me that you need to be charged. And sometimes the charger doesn't go in very smoothly. So, because it depends on which way I'm holding it. Like, I have to either turn it one way or the other way, and it's weird. Anyway, so going back to this, Jericho, I really think this is so great from Jericho. Like, Jericho finally has his millions and millions chant for himself, where Jericho can just talk up the crowd, and he is the only one that can get away with talking about the beach ball. Which also, I want to point this out, WWE... You are not doing yourself any favors by mentioning on air about the beach ball or mentioning on air that the crowd is doing the wave. You're encouraging them to continue to do it. I mean, granted, they didn't do the wave until like the last 5 minutes of the show or whatever, but it's like, don't encourage them. Just keep doing what you do, which is ignore what they're doing. It's stupid. Anyway, Jericho mentions the beach ball mania going wild. It's hilarious the way he does it. It's I just love this. He was great. He talks about his friends of Jericho and cheer me on, man, and everybody just soaks it in. He talks about Owen's finger, and he's going to put Owen's finger on the lift. Kevin Owens says, the hell no with that, and attacks him, and then Joe shows up and he gets double team. So Jericho is now out of commission, and Seth Rollins has got to find another partner, and Kurt Angle's going to find one for him. So guess who is Kurt Angle's choice for Seth Rollins' partner? Well, it's the returning Finn Balor. You have this match, which I thought was a pretty good way to end Raw. It was fun. Finn Balor wins with the coup de grace. And welcome back, sir. You are now again on Raw, except You're teaming with the guy that puts you out of action. How awkward.
I thought that was funny, too. I kept thinking to myself on the way. I was like, oh, man.
They did redeem themselves by saying that if anybody's going to know what Finn Balor's been through with Seth Rollins, and they can sort of come together with being the two guys that have been out of action with injuries. So.
Yeah. Well, it's very true. That is a good point. I'm glad that they kind of mentioned that. And, you know, also, you got to think about Finn Balor. He's thinking, okay, my first time back, and he comes to the, you know, arena, and he's all excited about, you know, being back, and then they say, oh, you're in a match with Seth Rollins. Think of the look on his face like, oh, well, maybe I can come back at WrestleMania 34, you know? But then they tell him he teams up, and he's like, I'm sold. Okay, I can team up with the guy. I don't have to face him. But, no, I mean, I think that is kind of funny, that dynamic. I think, you know, what they did here was a little predictable, but at the same point, it doesn't take away the excitement, the happiness of seeing Finn Balor back. And
the fans were also really happy to see Joe, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. We kind of put Joe to the side because, you know, he kind of had an early debut. So we didn't get a lot of fanfare for him, especially WrestleMania and all that. So now people get a chance to celebrate.
Well, he didn't even show up at WrestleMania.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But people weren't chanting for Joe either, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. So basically, he was kind of forgotten this year at WrestleMania. But at least now he does get to shine at this WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of Joe, I mean, we all thought he was surefire run in for that match with Triple H and Seth, and bub kiss, nothing. So that kind
of
sucks.
What do you make of the not a lot of people paid money to see Joe in the signing?
I don't know. You know, Axis, it's not.
It's also overpriced. So
it is overpriced. It is incredibly overpriced. And it's also, it's less smarky than it used to be. You know, it's very WWE-centric crowds that go there. And it's not to say that smarks don't go. I mean, I've been a couple times, but, I mean, since you had to start paying insane amounts of money for those autographs, like,
I mean, it's the parents and the kids that are going to be taking the pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, you want to go take the mark pic. I mean, chances are the smarky fans are going to just pay the money to go to the indie show and not pay the money to go $150 to go take a picture of Randy Orton. It's just not going to happen,
right?
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Very true. Very, very true. I, to speak to the Seth and Finn dynamic, I think they kind of nodded to that, at least at the end, where Finn gets the win and does the pose, and then him and Seth have the stare down, and then Seth sort of raises his arm, and then Finn's still staring at him, though. Like, it's not simpatico. It's just not very it's not touched on here, and that's okay. You know, I mean, there's next week. We got a lot of time to tease this out because these are obviously going to be your four or five guys running the show with Roman and Brock and, you know, whoever else they decide to throw in from the other divisions. But, you know, I mean, it's packed up here at the top now. Like, you suddenly have Finn back. I think Seth is on the right path. Joe and Owens are buddy-buddy, and they're gonna do work together too, so I'm interested in what you got, at least at the top of the card over here on Raw again.
I also would not have a problem if Finn turns, because Finn is a much better heel. So, and you're not going to turn Seth because you've wasted your time.
If you turn Finn, who's your other face in all this? I mean, that would mean Sammy, and we know Jericho's on tour soon. I mean, you're gonna kind of.
Well, I mean, you're gonna. They're gonna bring somebody over from SmackDown to Raw.
Right. So. Right. I just, you know, I don't know. I guess I just. I'm having a hard time picturing a lot of SmackDown guys over here on Raw. I really hope AJ stays over there, but he could be one of those guys that gets moved too.
I feel like they are probably gonna move him because if you think about it, he's wrestled everybody. You know.
I mean, that would really, especially with Shinsuke coming up, like that's a heartbreaker.
I mean, it sucks that he won't. you know, get to be on there. But, God, I just hope that – I really hope they don't gut SmackDown. Like, I'm scared that Vince is just going to try to take everybody. Like, oh, Shinsuke debuts. Oh, well, next week, Shinsuke's on Raw now.
Mm-hmm. You know? And they still haven't done AJ and Randy yet, which I feel like is a match they really want to do. So,
but I mean, they changed their decisions at the drop of a hat. So, and you know that Vince's favorite thing about doing these is I want to shock everyone. Let's do the move that nobody thinks is going to happen, and we'll figure it out later. You know, so that doesn't surprise me at all. If I mean, not that it doesn't. I think it will be a shock if it happens of AJ moving. I think somebody like I just don't know. Well, I mean, Dean's such a nowhere land anyway. I don't know that it would matter if he moved, but you know, I don't know if they'd want to split him and Renee, but.
I mean, he's still an Intercontinental champion, too. Like, that's another problem you have there. So, I mean, you could move John. I think John is a good option to send back over to Raw, too, if they want to do that.
Yeah, but then you'd have to move Nikki over.
I don't think I
would.
Oh,
well, Nikki, years. I think, is totally retiring, so.
I thought she's taking time off. Yeah.
What I mean, yeah, they could have her take time off and then show up on Raw again. You know, it's just whatever. But. Well, now we're using up our thing for tomorrow, but
we'll have a better idea tomorrow, though. We'll be much surer of our choices.
But I mean, so that's Raw as far as what happened on the actual Raw. On Raw Talk, they did have Goldberg. He talked for what seemed like forever. Honestly, it's just a real conversation, basically. That report that came out about Goldberg being exhausted or whatever with what he had to do, he pretty much gave you that promo talking about everything he had to do to get in the shape that he's in, and that's what he wanted to do. He wanted for his son to be able to see what he looked like and what he used to do and to be able to appreciate that and be able to sort of, hey, you're given this opportunity, do the best you can with it. And I think as a parent, as somebody that's watching that as a parent, and I'll give the fans a lot of credit, when they were talking about the son, anything involved with the family, they clapped. There was no smarky boos or whatever. They started chanting for Goldberg, all that stuff. So I give the crowd a lot of credit for once Goldberg got serious, they got serious with him. So, but I mean, as parents, you know, Gary, I think I could relate to what he was really saying, as in, that's what you want to teach your children, you know, of, hey, when you're given this opportunity, you make the most of it. And he mentions, hey, I know we had a shitty match at WrestleMania 20. I think we did all right last night. And the crowd, you know, actually chants yes and everything. And honestly, he came off like just a real human, and he, you know, as he has throughout this run, honestly. So for me, like, if he does say that never say never, like, you know, don't be surprised if you see me again, but if that's the last we ever see of him, I think overall, I mean, the run was good, and that lasting impression you get of him with the fun sprint with Brock and this promo, I feel like it's a nice bookend to everything.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gary. I'm interested in what you have to say in this too, being the Goldberg fan that you are.
You know, I do appreciate this for the fact that, you know, what you just said here, Sean, that they do allow that door to stay open, yet kind of closed in a way too, because, you know, Goldberg's like talking about the fact that, you know, he's not what he once was and how much he struggled to get to just this point. So I appreciated that, and of course the parenting stuff and all that, it's all nice. I don't hate to say the word cute, but it's kind of a cute little thing, you know, to wave everybody.
I mean, he's been consistent with that throughout the thing. So
yeah, he really has. And this isn't a situation where he's just saying, bye, Felicia. No, he's taking time to kind of give his opinions about, you know, what he thinks about the crowd and really just being himself, being Bill Goldberg. And that's okay. I mean, and you get to see the kid and all that, and that's who he's doing it for. So I think it works. It's not bad.
I don't have a problem with this at all. This is a fine, hey, see you next time around sort of thing, and this is why he's doing it, whatever. If you want to talk about his run total, we had to take a lot of bad stuff to get to some okay things. And I don't know if it was worth it in the long run, but they probably made a crap ton of money off of all this. And, you know, that's great for them and whatever. But I don't want to say this is another Rock situation, because I could go on a rant about all that too. But I will say that he and Brock did at least fix the WrestleMania 20 thing here. And they were much older, and that deserves a lot of credit. And if we have to see you next time around, it really should be the job to Roman, and then that should really probably be it.
I mean, I give him credit too for the making sure he looked good,
mm-hmm.
and not just coming in with, oh, I'm Goldberg, I can look any way I want to. You know, he wanted to really look like Goldberg and be Goldberg, and I think if you hadn't seen Goldberg before, you got that. And, you know, I don't... You're saying it's bad, but... I mean, this is what they wanted to do. They wanted to have this feud with Brock. He made Brock look human. And, yeah, he's a 50-year-old guy, and a 50-year-old guy shouldn't do that. But, hey, Undertaker beat him once. So, I mean, he's already has a history of getting beat by people older than him. But, I mean... He got his win on Undertaker, and then he got his win on Goldberg. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, I do think that if he comes back again, it would be with somebody like a Roman or a Samoa Joe or somebody else that would be believable for him, you know, to wrestle against. So, and it would help them in the long run as well.
It would help Roman, for sure. And I think that would be a great SummerSlam match for him. All I'm going to... Like, this run reminded me so much of the same problems I have with The Rock. And that how many times are we going to set back current talent to keep these glory runs going? Because I feel like you're relying on these glory runs to generate buzz while still shorting yourself on creating new talents. And that's not to say that they haven't done that, but I feel like some of these guys might be better off right now if we didn't have to sit through Goldberg and Brock doing this, and if we didn't have to sit through Twice in a Lifetime, and if we didn't have to sit through, you know, any other sort of thing. That, I mean, those are really two best examples I have. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I think the point is there. Like, the main roster has suffered, I think, because of this, but it's really hard to sort of take away from a very human moment Goldberg, which you don't always get from him. So,
but technically, aren't the Hardys on a glory run right now?
I feel like the Hardys are still young enough to where you could still get a lot of use out of them. Like, they're going to be around for a while.
For one, I can't. Like, when Jeff said he's 39, I was like, Jeff is 39?
Yeah,
I feel like 39. I've been watching Jeff forever. Like, mm-hmm. God,
amazing.
We're not watching Hollywood stars and 50-year-olds try to go out here and be world champion, you know?
Right. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. But, I mean, you know, it's just wanting to make sure we're not picking and choosing, right? Because that's what people are going to accuse us of. Mm-hmm. Of, oh, you're hating on Gomer, but you're okay with the Hardys coming back and doing their thing.
I don't know if anybody's still as bitter as I am about The Rock's second run, so.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Thank God we didn't see him at WrestleMania, because Paul would have just gone off on that.
Oh my God.
Technically, I think the reason we didn't is because apparently, like, somebody died in his family, if from what I heard, listening to the Law recap on Sunday. So
I'm so glad I didn't just say the first thing that popped in my head.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
Uh-oh. Oh, man, I love it. Yeah, I love those knee-jerk reactions.
They also showed a lot of Hogan in those packages, too, so I was surprised that he didn't show up either. But mm-hmm. Or that he wasn't even at the Hall of Fame sitting there. So they're still a little... I wonder if until we see Paige back, they don't feel right bringing Hogan back either.
Maybe so. Or maybe they have to go... And make maybe Hulk Hogan feel more comfortable with the thought, you know, of him being there. So who knows? I mean, Teddy Long was inducted this weekend, so maybe Hulk still didn't feel comfortable being there.
It's a fair point, Gary.
I did love Teddy Long. Just he does not care if he looks stupid.
No, he doesn't.
I love that about him, though. He just goes out there and. It's like, oh, a Hall of Fame inductee. Here comes Teddy Long. Teddy, it's not you. Oh, really? All right. Holla, holla, holla. And I'm just going to walk right out.
Big pop. Big yeah. pop, too.
Yeah. He yeah. is amazing. I love him.
Oh, man, it's great. But, yeah, so, you know, we have two... Man, we have the dream match that will never happen as SmackDown and Raw GMs. Like, I mean, if you ever have to make Raw and SmackDown go back together, and you can't have this match between the two GMs, I mean, this sucks.
Just take out a lot of insurance policies for both gentlemen and then let them do it.
Just let them do it. That's right.
Let them go.
Make it happen however you have to do it.
I still think that we're going to get Kurt Angle back in the ring at some point. Just they're sort of biding their time, I think.
From what I'm understanding, Daniel Bryan's getting back in the ring, even if he has to wait for his contract to be over.
Yeah.
Well, I don't blame him, but, you know, if he says he's really developed a style where he doesn't have to fall on his head.
Mm-hmm. Then. So you never know. You don't. But I'm curious what you guys are going to rate this show.
This was a really fun show. A lot of the matches are sort of... There's no standout, like, oh my god, there was a great match. It's not like the number one contender match main event that we got last year, right? That sort of redeemed a sort of almost a ho-hum Raw after Mania. This certainly felt... It has its... points where there's a little bit of lulls, but I mean, it's a 3-hour show. It's gonna be really hard for them to have it deliver constantly, but I feel like, you know, you got everything you wanted, right? I think we got a debut, we got the return of Finn, we got our return of Emma, that thankfully they didn't try to have that, you know, go for another 5 months or whatever. And you got, who else am I not thinking of here? Oh, and you got the new GM. So, you got four major things. You got the big announcement about the shakeup, and you had some good action and things set up for the future. So, I can't complain, really. I would say a solid, like, 7.
I think that sounds about right. Somewhere in the 7 to 7.5 range, somewhere in there. Like, I think the main event was good. The cruiserweights, put on a great show. I think you have a lot of great segments with Kurt. I think you have a lot of intrigue with the tag team division now. I think the main event picture got a lot more intriguing. Like, there's a lot of ways to go here on Raw right now for the however long it's going to last before we start making trades, but. As of now, I think it's a fine picture to work with, and I think, yeah, 7, 7.5, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I mean, looking at this Raw, we kind of got some of the things that feel were very predictable. I mean, the Kurt Angle as GM was kind of predictable. We've been kind of talking about that here and there. You know, the fact that we also, you know, had the Revival show up. We weren't sure. We kind of thought that was a SmackDown thing, but, you know, they kind of pointed out that they had a...
Do you think that they might have DIY show up on SmackDown then? I feel like you got to have a tag team show up on SmackDown. That show is in need of something for that tag division to wake up.
I think it hurts NXT too much if you
they don't care about hurting NXT at this point.
I think they do. There are times where you could say maybe you don't call that person up, and then there are times where you really shouldn't call that person up, because you look at that tag division and it is two teams deep with a lot of jobbers and heavy machinery working their way up. That's it.
Yeah. And the fact that you know that there's going to be a shakeup coming in the Revival, just because they were on Raw doesn't mean they stay there. So I kind of feel like that's probably where they're going with it. They're just kind of, you know, debuting a special team to excite the fans, and that's exactly what that did. And there were some other good things on here that I appreciated. I mean, I think back, you know, the even though they weren't as big surprises, like on Raw's to an extent, because we knew Finn Balor was going to be back too. It's just, it's what we want every year. I think in the past I said, man, I just want everything what I want. It's all predictable. And now this year I'm kind of complaining about it to an extent, very, very small extent. I love everybody that was there. I'm thrilled about the Revival. And heck, you know, at WrestleMania, my pants fell to my ankles when the Hardys came out. My pants fell down to the knees
well,
tonight when the Revival came out.
I saw some picture of people that actually, you know, crapped themselves at WrestleMania, so
that is amazing.
You know, at least you didn't do that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to see the photos, but that's amazing. But anyway, I think you guys are right. Seven's where I'm at on this too. I think they did a pretty darn good job for what it's worth, you know, but not overly great.
Well, before we get out of here, because we don't have we're doing the show on after SmackDown. So, what do you feel about the proposed debutantes for SmackDown? Nakamura, Ty Dillinger, Andrade, Cien Almas, and let's throw in DIY in there for tag team's sake. I don't think they're going to have a woman, because there is no, unless you have a former diva like Kelly or Eve or somebody show up. Also very weird that Eva Marie is still in the Total Divas promos that returns on Wednesday, but she's probably not returning to the company. That's funny. But, again, she showed up on TV as a Total Divas character. It would be funny if that's the last thing you ever see her, is she just never comes back after that, this season of Total Divas ends. Yeah, what do you think about these four, or I guess it would be, yeah, the three names that have been popping up, and then the possibility of DIY showing up? What do you think?
It would not surprise me for them to use Nakamura to be a surprise on SmackDown. It really would not.
I got a lot of crap for saying that Almas isn't ready, by the way, on Twitter. I got people bitching at it, like saying that I'm stupid for saying that.
I don't know how you are. I have no idea why.
I think they took it as in, well, this guy's freaking been wrestling for years. Like, how are you saying the dude's not ready?
He's great, but he has also not exactly got himself over in NXT. How's he going to do it on SmackDown or Raw? That's the thing. If he proves it on the indies, that's awesome. Congratulations, you did it on the indies. You got to do it in the big leagues, though, too.
I think you can take the examples of Braun and Baron Corbin, I guess, and say, well, there are people that, and Alexa Bliss, and you say, okay, well, there are people that have just gone to the main roster and they've actually improved on the main roster by itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's what their thought process was. Not everybody is Apollo Crews.
Sure.
You know, Almas has a lot of great qualities in the ring. And I think Alexa is a poor example to use, because her act was pretty much a thing, you know, and we were just waiting on her wrestling to improve down in NXT, and I guess they just figured, why not do that on the main roster? Baron and Braun, I think, are a little different because they actually got behind them, and they've never done that with Apollo. Never. Not once. Outside of his NXT run, where they just sort of kept pushing him and pushing him in these big matches. Tyler Breeze, another example of somebody who hasn't really done well because they never got behind him. So if they're bringing Almas up and they have an idea for him and they get behind him, it could definitely work. I you know, you never know. But as it stands right now with the way we've seen them do with these kind of guys before, I wouldn't do it. If it was me, I wouldn't bring him up. I'd leave him down there.
I mean, to be fair, he at least has a character, which Apollo Crews doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he can continue to develop that character. He does have the language issue. But again, like, Triple H apparently has a lot more control on SmackDown, so he knows how to protect him in that way, and he's getting better about it. I think you also have the sort of just, hey, we need to flesh out that mid-card, so why not put another, you know, mid-card heel guy that, you know, that can work, and let's see if the crowd takes to him or whatever. But, you know, he does have the flashy moves and everything, so that helps. I think he could be a success, you know, one of those success stories of guys that get better as they continue to have more time on the main roster, you know. But I just don't want to see him fail, you know, because I don't want to, like, you know, what Del Rio was saying when he was leaving of, oh, well, Almas is pissed. He doesn't even want to be here anymore and whatever. I don't want that, you know. Same thing, like, I don't want Itami to feel like he wasted his time here. You know, just, I'd hate to see him go out there and fail. That's the only thing that was worrying me about it. So, you people can get off my back about that. But, I think Ty is, you got to bring him up at some point. Whether you're worried about the 10 chant taking over everything or not, it's going to, whether he's there or not. It's already been proven. Might as well bring him. He's a great guy that you can use as a face for the mid card, which again you need to keep fleshing out. And Nakamura is a no-brainer. He has nothing left to do, and so why not have another main event guy who has history with AJ? And him and Bray Wyatt would be interesting. You know, him and Randy Orton would be interesting. So, you know, I think all those choices are good. And I mean, I think DIY would be a shot in the arm for that division, but that's one of those how much do you want to hurt NXT kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, four acts debuting on SmackDown is a lot of work to do at that rate too. But yeah, Shinsuke, he's going to succeed no matter where he goes, but I think the most interesting place for him is on SmackDown, especially because I think that main event scene is so fluid with a lot of other guys that they have on that show. So there's a lot to work with there. Ty is a mid-card champion waiting to happen, and could even end up being a main event success story that you never expect, too. So once again, I think Gary was right whenever we talked about this on, I think it was our NXT review. He feels like a SmackDown guy, somebody who just fit in there instantly.
Yeah, I mean, that's just you know, kind of the way I feel about it. But you know, I think overall, you know, what we're gonna see here is probably 1 to 2 at the most. And I think if there are more, they're not gonna release it till they actually do the shakeup. It would not be surprise me at all if they say, well, you know, we've got NXT so and so hopping over and coming up to Raw or SmackDown. It's nice to do it on this WrestleMania week, just to kind of give it that pop. But I wouldn't be surprised if they don't have people waiting until maybe the following week to debut. So,
wouldn't it be funny if they had those NXT guys like declaring which brand, like they do for high school players, declaring what college they're going to go to?
Yeah, we're going to have National Signing Day for Raw or SmackDown now.
Oh,
Almas sitting up there in his best Naito impression, just trying not to look like he cares. SmackDown.
Tranquilo, I am going on SmackDown.
I just seen him looking up and totally off and up into space, just looking off and just kind of throwing his hand out there, knocking a t-shirt off, and that's the one he chose. Doesn't even look at it, just knocks one off. Okay. So, yeah, let's hope that happens. But, yeah, we got a lot of exciting stuff looking forward to pretty soon here. Of course, you know, I want to let everybody know, never forget this, but, you know, especially since this is a big SmackDown tomorrow, make sure you check out our SmackDown Live review. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. And I know you guys will be really curious to see how our feelings are after that show, especially all of the stuff we talked about tonight. We'll definitely have a full reaction over that stuff, as well as we'll be doing a 205 Live show as well. So you don't want to miss that. Don't forget, though, we are going to be recording episode 241 of Wrestling to the Max, part one. That'll be Tuesday night. It'll be available Wednesday morning on the download for you guys. And also have lots of Ring of Honor action. Of course, we're going to do Super Card of Honor. None of us got a chance to watch it. So we're going to do that tomorrow. And by that time, we will be able to cover that show for you guys. That's kind of why we're pushing it off to another day. But check out all our stuff. If you want to find anything we have to offer, make sure you go to W2Mnet.com. That's the place where you go find all our podcasts. And of course, written stuff that's really great you don't want to miss out on. Also, don't forget Wrestling with the Max. Go subscribe now if you haven't already. And also rate and review. Hey, that just does us all. We appreciate everybody that's already done it. But, you know, I think we're done for the night. So we hope everybody's enjoyed this. Until next time, if you're not living life to the max.
Not living life at all.
You know it.
Please.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.